Hey, welcome to The Huddle. Here we talk about creating equitable spaces in education for the clinician, for the learner, for the parent, because it all matters. It matters in education, it matters in our business therapy practices, it matters in the wellness and the well-being of teachers, educators, interventionists, and parents. So here we talk about how people benefit, the outcomes for the learners who are impacted by the equitable spaces we have or not. Welcome to The Huddle.
There is a question that asked about a child not being ready for kindergarten, and do we hold the child back and give them a gift of time and say, they're socially not ready for kindergarten. That was the question. They're socially not ready for kindergarten, socially, emotionally not ready for kindergarten. And do we just give them a gift of time and, you know, hold them back that year and they'll be an older kindergartner? No, many people who have decided to have their children start later, so they're the oldest kindergartner in the class. Here's a question. What if the gift of time is not enough? What if you give that year and it's not enough? And then you ask yourself that same question when people discuss retention. What if we retain a child and it's still not enough? In this space of neurodiversity, we honor neurodiversity when it comes to adults, young adults, teenagers. Somebody says, I'm neurodiverse. You have big companies that are creating in their human resources, their talent management, to be able to have resources for adults who are in the workplace that are neurodiverse. And that's wonderful. But adults who are neurodiverse were children who were neurodiverse. And how did we honor them? It's like damage control. Like, we, now you're an adult. Okay, let's give you what we should have given you. Let's give you the time we should have given you. Let's give you the resources that we should have given you. And I just have to ask, what if we had given those resources, that differentiated, not instruction, but room for being different inside of a classroom? So what if we had given that? What if we had taken away from the conversation retention for children who don't meet the standards in the first grade and don't meet the standards in the second grade or don't meet the standards as they leave kindergarten? What if we take retention out of the conversation and we say, what can we do as adults? Because retention is really saying the same thing that the gift of a year says. It is the child's responsibility to grow up. It is the child's responsibility to grow into this thing that we have decided that should be. So we have said in retention, we are going to say the same thing, provide the same level instruction over again in the same format, and we expect magic to happen. The gift of time says we are going to do what we did last year, and we are going to expect the same thing to happen. Magic. The child should just grow. The conversation about having supports and having a different learning environment, having multiple systems of support, shifting how we interact, shifting how we teach, shifting our curriculum and the tools we use to teach children is not part of the retention discussion the way that it should be, nor is it a part of the gift of time. Growing and developing for children who are not quite making the mark, and that's a whole nother moving target conversation, who are not quite making the mark, happens on their backs. They have, you know, we have identified them as having the problem. And then we want them to grow up with them, and we only give a year. And we as adults in our systems are not doing anything differently. We're not thinking about what types of visual supports are needed. Does this child who has symptoms of dyslexia, because some of us are unwilling to diagnose what we see until a certain age criteria is met, which is a whole nother, you know, philosophical, not even a philosophical discussion. It is printed that that shouldn't happen, but we do it anyway. But think about it.
We want our kids to read, and then we know that they have these challenges in reading. And of course, they're going to have these challenges in math because you have visual, you have to look left to right, you need visual attention, you need all of those things. And then we say in therapies that are supposed to be able to support and develop them, we only want to do one kind of therapy because that's how we identify school-based. So for example, we have occupational therapy. Occupational therapy is a large category, but in some districts, we provide occupational therapy from a perspective of fine motor skills, cutting, but reading and visual attention to reading is an academic skill. Occupational therapists work on orientation and scanning. If a person cannot cross midline with their arms, their eyes are not moving to midline. And what does midline, crossing midline require? You need that for reading. But that's not what we do here. So, you know, all systems are not created equal. It is almost savage inequalities. And that there's a book, but it's just terrible when you go from location to location and the services change based upon the philosophy of the area. So we're looking at children retaining and giving a gift of a year based upon how the geographical culture decides what is real, what is not, what should be attained, what is not. We're not even having a conversation about education research. We're not having a conversation about best clinical or intervention practices. We're having conversations about how we do things here. And that has historically never benefited a marginalized or disenfranchised group, and it surely does not benefit children. So I ask, when we think about when we have these discussions about a gap year for children who are socially and emotionally not ready for kindergarten, what are the metrics? What's the checklist to say that they are not ready? Is it a feeling you have? And, you know, we don't want to, you know, move away from the feeling, but really, what is it also founded in? And then what will happen during that gap year to provide them the supports that they need so they will meet this thing that we say that they should have that is also undefined? When we talk about retention, we need to ask ourselves, what will change in the curricula? What will change in how we approach their learning? What do we now know about this learner to better benefit them? So do we retain them or do we provide better teaching practices for them so that they can? Because a year is not going to solve what we see in front of us, because what if it doesn't happen? And then what are we left with? So again, that's why we created Excel Prep, founded in education research, founded away from this is how we do things here versus this is best practices and this is how things should be done. We're using direct instruction. So do we need a kindergartner to have it all together? Do we need kids to walk in made? Is the question. And the answer is no. Where do you? Do you walk into the workout room made? If not, you would need a personal trainer. Do you walk into your practices made? Do we walk in made in any place? The answer is no. So why are we expecting children to walk in made? Retaining them is a punitive, it's poor consequence to instruction that had an entire year to figure out who they are, to better teach them and educate them. It's a poor response. So why are we accepting this at the IEP table? Why are we accepting this in conversations about our children? I don't know about you, but my kids were hard won. I say that. I say that all the time. They were hard won. We were told that we would not have them. So I am a mother, all the things, a mother smotherer, a mother this, a mother that. I am, because they were hard won children, and I value their lives. I value not just today, I value who they will become. And I value the interactions that they will have in this place we call school, where they spend 5 to 6 hours of other people pouring into them, influencing them. So yes, Yes, when we have conversations about retention, we have conversations about a gap, we have conversations about errors and all of those things. Parents need to ask better questions, but we also need better options in our community. And we are a homeschool family. I love homeschool, but I don't have the capacity to continue homeschooling. And my children want to be in a place and a location that honors who they are as learners. And for some, we find that. And for others, we got to create it. So that's what we did with Excel Prep. So we'll see you in August. www.excelprepschools.com to enroll your child, because retention is off the table. Gap year is off the table. What's on the table is providing direct instruction, explicit instruction, precision teaching, because it doesn't take a whole year to figure out who a child is as a learner, and everyone deserves to progress. That's it. I'll talk to you later. Bye for now. Thank you for taking the time to listen to this special episode of We Built a School here on the Huddle Podcast. Check us out at excelprepschools.com, Excel, E-X-C-E-L, prepschools.com. You can always check out thehuddle.online. And until next time, do your best.